Hello, everyone, and welcome to Creative Psychopaths, a horror movie podcast and the world's premier kitchen for horror sandwiches. What are horror sandwiches, I hear you ask? Well, it's a lovely movie filling surrounded by two slices of chatty goodness. My name's Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew. Hello.
Hello.
Are you ready and raring to go this week?
I'm as ready as I could ever possibly be.
Ready for a fight or some sort of versus match. And talking about versus matches, we are, of course, joined all month by our friend from the Movie Duel podcast, Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Lovely to have you back for a second week running. Those golden vocals filling our ears.
Bless you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me back again.
Well, we like having you. It's nice to have a little buffer sometimes. A little Peter buffer.
A referee.
Yeah. Talking of referees, not really. But I've done my traditional watch all the Rocky films this week. Just finished Rocky Balboa today. I was going to go on to watching Creed, but I wouldn't have even minded paying for them, but the first two of them seem to be very expensive. Well, not very expensive, but for me, anything over £5 is too much. So I might have to hold off on the Creeds.
I don't think I've ever actually watched a Rocky film all the way through, you know?
Oh, no. I
feel like I have, but I don't know for sure that I actually have.
I don't know what to say about that. Have you seen a Creed film?
No, I haven't seen any. I definitely haven't seen anything past Rocky V.
Oh, dear.
But it's always something I've sort of dipped in and out of and not really sat and watched the whole thing all the way through. And any of them, I don't think.
I can't. If I watch the first one, I can't not watch all of them. And I watch them just one after the other. And I've never gotten bored of doing it. I couldn't watch a Star Wars like that. That'd get me bored. But Rocky's the man for me. Like Rocky, Matthew, you like his ways?
I'm with Peter on this one.
You haven't really seen a Rocky film?
Yeah, this is a... Well, what's the opposite of preaching to the choir?
Preaching to
not
no
the opposite,
one.
Is it? It's somewhere in the middle, I think.
Preaching to no one.
We don't have antagonistic ideas to Rocky, but
yeah. Preaching to the agnostic, they're not deciding.
That's a better one.
I realise that I should do, because I know that it's a very important film, and a lot of the sequels are very important as well. So I'm sure I will do at some point.
Maybe I'll start a Rocky podcast. Yeah. I'm not sure how long it'll last. I suppose.
Well, I've actually been doing something similar myself this year, kind of stumbling into it. I've done all of the Ghostbusters, all the Back to the Future films.
Ooh.
I think possibly some. Also, I did all the Indiana Jones films as well.
I'm less on board with that.
So maybe Rocky should be the next one.
Yeah, maybe. I think I'm like a little bit. I don't know if I can be biased about it, but like the first one's a 5, and I just rank everyone else a 4. And I know they're not 4-star films, but you know, I've never known films to just fly by like they do for me. So, yeah, good stuff, Rocky. Oh, and also I bought a new car this week, but that's for another day, probably. No, fuck it.
Definitely more significant life-wise.
Let's do that story. So essentially the wipers broke on mine, and after thinking it would be more than likely a fuse or a motor, they said, oh no, it's like your computer system, and it's not worth replacing. So,
yeah. Your wipers?
Yeah. Just
wipers have
wipers.
Gone and the whole car has...
The whole car's fucked.
That's... Yeah. I can't even begin to express how insane that sounds.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the computer system, surely you can turn it off and turn it back on again.
Oh, yeah. But apparently to turn it off and back on again, you need to rip out all the dashboard, which is very expensive. And also, I don't think it's as simple as that.
No.
So, yeah, I'm now a Mitsubishi owner. Mitsubishi.
Ooh.
So that's fun. I won't give you the reg. I don't want to get doxxed. Will that get me doxxed? Who knows? Anyway, here we are in the versus month. We're going to do this first lovely slice of bread, and we're going to do just a little game of this or that. And if you don't know what this or that means, I'm not going to explain it. You'll get it very quickly. So, you know what? I'm going to start us off following from last week. So, alien or predator?
Alien. Do you need elaboration, or do we?
If you feel like it.
Are you talking movie or monster?
good question.
The answer's the same. The reasoning changes.
I was thinking monster.
Okay, so yeah, I think alien. I find more interesting because it's not humanoid for a start.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that look. H.R. Giger was probably one of the first artists I properly got into. So anything that he designed was gets, you know, points straight away. Because I was a 10-year-old new metal corn loving kid, like so many of my generation. So yeah, and I like the film better too.
Yeah, I think I'd go with aliens. I sort of like the idea that it's like a essentially bees on steroids. Yeah, so I think I'm an alien guy too.
I'd have to go predator. I do think that the concept of the predator is really interesting. I mean, it's very close. It'd be very close because the alien is pretty iconic, or the xenomorph, and that sort of life cycle, and the fact that it's this, what you said, this perfect organism as it's described. But I think the predator is just a bit more fun, and you know,
I can't argue with that.
I think, although they've not executed it brilliantly in some of the later films, I thought, you know, what the sort of history or the culture of the predators that they tried to build was always quite interesting. They just never managed to really pull it off.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's one thing for sure about, you could say about at least the Predator movies, is that of all the sort of reboot sequels that these movies have had, Predator definitely hit really hard with Prey. Mm. And gave us a sort of glimpse into what they could do with that franchise. So whereas I think some of the Alien films, is it Covenant and stuff like that, they were a bit fine, yeah, but not great. I think I fell asleep during one of them ones. Did a Peter, as it's called.
They should make more Predator films, and they should have Predator win in most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't often win, does he? Kind of sucks, actually. Oh, well. One of you guys go, then.
Well, I'll go, then. So I'll go for a very, very obvious horror movie one. So Michael's Kitchen Knife or Jason's Machete?
Gotta be the machete.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mind you,
every day.
Is a machete a bit unwieldy?
Well, it depends what you're using it for. I mean, if I'm going to, you know, get my way through some dense thicket, I'd want the machete. But if I'm booking a romantic dinner for two, I'd also want the machete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose if I'm
it looks cooler.
Yeah,
it looks cooler, the machete.
Yeah, definitely the machete. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although you couldn't get one of those blocks for it in the kitchen, it wouldn't be very good. Maybe they should include that.
I think you're what, what must be considered that if you're using it as a movie weapon, a machete is more likely to be buried into a victim's body and hard to get out, and also doesn't have the same stabbing capabilities that a kitchen knife does.
You're right. Maybe you're turning me around on the kitchen knife. Do you know, I think if it was me in the situation, I'd probably have to go kitchen knife, because I think I'd find the machete a bit unwieldy. I'm going back round. But that's if it was me. If I'm the one doing the murders, I think I'd have to go kitchen knife.
Well, I'm thinking, like, what would I be more afraid of?
Probably a machete, yeah.
Let's be brutally honest, I'm more likely to be a horror movie victim than I am a sort of force of nature. So I'd say machete. That would strike the fear into me more.
Yeah, yeah. We don't mind either then, really. We've chosen. I've gone back round. I'm having kitchen knife. So Peter, have you got one for us? Or
yeah, I've got one for you. Do you prefer horror movie remakes or horror movie requels?
How many requels have there been? I think it's Scream,
Candyman, Halloween, Exorcist.
Ugh. I think based just on that little bit of information, I'm probably going to say requel, because I think those are the ones that have at least come away as being generally good movies. There are less remakes, I think.
I'm always a sucker for things being canon and you know, the sort of chronology of a series, and I think that the requel sort of concept is quite interesting, because it does try to keep some, you know, Halloween obviously did something a bit different and, you know, forgot about and everything after the first one, but you know, they're sort of setting up the same kind of world and moving the story on, which I think is a lot better than, you know, remakes tend to fall under two categories of either they do something completely different and it just doesn't hit right, or they do the same thing and it's just boring. For the most part. Certainly, you know, in later years, I mean, things like The Flying Thing, obviously, they completely past that sort of, most remakes a crap kind of sensibility.
Yeah.
This is really tough. The thing is, Evil Dead kind of has done both of them, though.
Yeah.
They did that in the second film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can that just be my answer? Whatever Evil Dead does.
You could say your answer is Evil Dead, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, that's my answer to most questions in life.
Fair enough.
I'd probably say requel. I think it gives you a bit more scope for doing something fun.
Yes.
It's definitely hard to say, because there are some that you just said then, remakes like It and The Fly, but I don't... They are and they aren't remakes, aren't they? Essentially, just because they're called that, it doesn't really mean that they're the same film.
No.
You know, with both movies, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, like, three of the bigger ones, you know, you have, like you said, Candyman, Scream, and Halloween. I did enjoy all of those to various degrees. So I think that's probably what swung it for me.
Yeah. Well, my one is I'm going to get you to choose Pennywise's, if that's all right by you. So Tim Curry or Bill Skarsgård? Which was your favorite? I feel like you both said different names there.
We did.
I think we did.
Peter said Tim Curry and you went for Skarsgård.
Yeah, I mean, in the role.
Yeah,
I really like Bill Skarsgård in it.
Yeah, I'm currently in just about the middle of reading it, and I think Skarsgård is does probably do a better job of it.
I think what I would probably qualify this by saying that I think it helps that he's in a better film with more updated effects. Probably helps.
True.
And more of a budget to give him the makeup and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I really like that sort of glassy, like, look in his eye and the drool and the big teeth and stuff and that thing that he's got going on. Whereas I think Tim Curry plays it more like an old-fashioned clown than Skarsgård does. I think he plays it more of a case of he's very clearly a monster pretending to be a clown.
Yeah, right.
Rather than a clown who's also a monster.
Yeah.
I grew up with Tim Curry as Pennywise, so there's probably a good deal of nostalgia in it for me. But I just think he's a lot creepy. I think that probably the general look of Bill Skarsgård is probably creepier, but I think the performance of Tim Curry is much, much creepier. Just that he turns on a dime in terms of his character so much. And even when, you know, he's in the drain talking to Georgie, it's just so sort of really matter of fact. And there's not even an ounce of sort of creepiness right till the end. Whereas, you know, Bill Skarsgård plays it up quite a bit more. And I just found it a lot creepier that it was almost sort of dialed back a little bit with Tim Curry until he, you know, later on in the film or series or whatever you want to call it. And then he just becomes this sort of piss taker, and it just non-relenting, just taking the piss out of him, basically. But yeah, it's definitely Tim Curry for me.
I don't, you know, I've asked this question and I don't know, I don't really know the answers myself. I'm leaning towards Tim Curry for nostalgia reasons, but I think based on what I'm reading in the book, I'm gonna have to go for Skarsgård. He does have that considerable creep factor. Yeah. Skarsgård.
What's very good about both of them, though, is that you can tell that they're both having lots of fun doing it.
Like
they both of them really relish the role.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, you're picking between two very good, like, performances and takes on the character. So this may be the cruelest one to say one over the other. But...
All right, we'll just say both then. This or that, both. Thank you. Right, so have you got another one, Matthew?
Well, as always, Evil Dead.
All right.
Boomstick or chainsaw?
Oof.
Do I get the chainsaw attached to my hand?
Up to you. If you want the dexterity that a normal human hand will give you, you're allowed that and just allowed to wield the chainsaw. But, you know, you do need the boomstick if you want to gain the respect of a medieval village.
Chainsaw.
These feel like two things that would just hurt me. If I had them, I don't have to choose me having them. Chainsaw. I love the chainsaw. It's cool.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Chainsaws are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is probably, is this our first Full House then? So I'm saying chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't beat it. Plenty of blood, plenty of roaring engines. Ooh, I lost my voice while I said roaring engines. Do you have another one, Peter, or are we?
No, that was the only one I came up with, I'm afraid.
Oh yes. Oh well. I think we're done then. I think we can slide into the filling. So I picked this week's film, having known nothing about it, but I saw clips of it and thought that looks cheesy. So this week we're doing Dracula versus Frankenstein from 1971. The only small thing I know about this is I think that both Universal and Hammer were thinking about making these films and then couldn't come up with a decent concept as to why the two would be fighting. So we got this, which was...
Which also couldn't think of any good reason for that to be fighting.
I've lost the thing. There we go. So, this movie was directed by Al Adamson, and it stars J. Carroll Nash as Dr. Duryea, that's Dr. Frankenstein, Lon Chaney Jr. as Groton. I had no idea that was him. I must have missed that. Zandolf Vorkov as Count Dracula, John Bloom as the Frankenstein monster, Jim Davies as Sergeant Martin, Regina Carroll as Judith Fontaine, Russ Tamblyn as Rico, Anne Morrell as Samantha, Maria Elise as Joanne Fontaine, Angela Rossio as Graspo. And, well, that's it, really. There's a few more, but I think that's more than I would normally read out. So I think this might be, well, it's not the first time we've gone in blind, but it's certainly, I think, the first time any of us have probably watched a film without really knowing a jot about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie that doesn't quite know what it wants to be, does it? It's not quite settled on an idea. It doesn't know whether it wants to have a bit of humor or whether it wants to be very violent or whether it wants to be a bit silly. And I said silly twice there, I think.
I don't think it tried to have humor, but I can tell you I laughed out loud about four times during this film.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's, you'll have to forgive me if I'm wrong here, Matthew, but it feels like one of those films that you say before that I think it feels like it's been made in earnest, but it comes off a bit hilarious.
You know what? I couldn't put my finger on why, because it did feel like it should have been a film that was so bad it's good, but I didn't get any of it.
Didn't you?
No, it might just be my mood, but I was sullen throughout all of this. There wasn't anything that tickled.
No emotional response whatsoever.
Anger, that came up quite a lot. No, that's a lie. I mean, there was the odd moment that did it, but yeah, I think possibly company may have helped that over the line, because... Yeah, I want to know what that secret ingredient is that turns a film from, you know, bad to so bad it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, I'm not suggesting it's so bad it's good. It's not particularly good. But this, I did have a bit of fun with it. Mm. But there were distinct moments where I was like, oh, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
So, I suppose we should... The problem, I was going to say, I think I'd give a vague idea of what the plot was, but I'm not entirely sure what it was.
So, the last descendant of Dr. Frankenstein is working on something to help his sort of assistant who's
his weird mate. Yeah.
His weird mate.
Yeah.
And then Dracula turns up because he wants to create an army of the undead using the original Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein's killing girls under the pier to experiment on.
With the help
I said that
of...
like I was going to explain what the... What,
I was going to say, I don't think you know what the plot was either.
There's also some kind of, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going on as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah, that was gross.
It was.
So he
gives him this serum to turn him into the sort of crazed madman to go out and kidnap women, but not before he's remembered to put his coat on. But he was still probably Lon Chaney Jr. was probably the best acting in this film.
Oh yeah, he was cracking in it. You know, and he probably did the makeup for himself as well, no doubt. Mm. And so it's quite a reasonable transformation, actually, from sort of happy-go-lucky chap to, oh, you know what, I'm a bit pissed off about all this stuff that's going on. And he said he was going to make me better, and he never does, and I quite like dogs. What a random film.
I mean, the dog was cute, puppy. To be fair.
Yeah, the dog was cute. I like the dog.
And it did. It survived the fall, even though we didn't know it was in danger.
Yeah, it survived the fall. sadly, the hilarious small person didn't survive the fall. He was, head on an axe. It's not what you want, is it? It's not the way to go.
Did I miss that? The Master Blaster from Mad Max.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. He's the little fella on top of the tall fella.
I never noticed that. He was good fun. This is a crazy one because we're not quite getting anywhere. So there is a sort of vague other plot in here where we have our main protagonist lady, Judith Fontaine, I think. And she's trying to find her sister who has gone missing. So she meets up with some fun people. Couple of bloody hippies, isn't it? Bloody hippies. And then another guy with what I also thought was quite a good voice as well. He had a bit of a hey, how you doing? That sort of thing. And so
is that Mike with his fang necklace?
Yeah, he was going for it, wasn't he?
Yeah, the turtleneck and shark tooth necklaces. It's a look.
Original
striking.
Star Trek top on.
That is a
need a lot of Chekhov.
Is that who he was?
No, but he looked like he had the sort of that sort of, I don't know what colour it is. It's sort of
mustard.
greeny. Sort of. It looked like very sort of Captain Kirk.
And well, anyway, they form a sort of Scooby-Doo type investigation team where they go, let's have a look over here. And they find something or other. And the girl who's with them, whose name I forget, she bumps into what has got to be the least intimidating bike gang.
I've got exactly the same wording in my notes.
But one of them wearing a literal Nazi armband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is shocking, even in 1971.
Yeah.
I'm wearing it. But...
Well, one of those is actually Russ Tamblyn from Twin Peaks.
I thought you were going to say that one of them's an actual Nazi.
Well, they could be.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Do you know what? I thought I saw the bloke who melts in RoboCop in this at some point, because the main character goes on a trip, which is weird and doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how this discussion so far has just been entirely how much we've seen these people in better things.
All the randomness of it, because there's this weird random musical number in Las Vegas at the start as well.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, it was clearly filmed in someone's living room.
Yeah. Can we please get onto Dracula though?
Oh, you mean the Jesus from the Big Lebowski?
I had so many. I had Peter Sutcliffe. I had Cat Stevens. Just numerous. This is what this guy looks like. Everything but Dracula.
I kind of like the idea of Dracula just wearing a suit with a cape, though.
Yeah, me too. I liked his goatee. I was like, why is he rocking a goatee? But he was. He's rocking a goatee, a little perm for himself. Ah, you got to look good, don't you?
It was the voice, though. He was just so sleepy.
And it's through, like, some weird echo filter. That's,
yeah.
Hello, I'm Dracula. In it.
Yeah. And he doesn't seem to enunciate in his lines. It just goes, even when he's got about four sentences in one spell, he just goes straight through them.
He couldn't quite figure out what his deal was either. It was like plot wise as well. It was like, what are you doing? You seem to have immense power. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of nicknamed him in my notes Count Exposition, because he just seems to be telling everybody what he's doing or why he's doing it every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
To say I really enjoyed his introduction though to the film, because it's it's basically like they introduce both characters twice. So he meets our doctor, doesn't he? And he's like, oh, you're the last of the Dr. Frankensteins. You're Dr. Frankenstein. And he's like, yeah, and you're Dracula. And he goes, yeah, I'm Count Dracula.
You've got Dracula's ring on. You must be Dracula.
Yeah, very much so. And then he's like, he goes, oh, I'm not doing what you want me to do, Count Dracula. So he sets a stick on fire, and the scientist is like, oh, a stick is on fire.
It was the bit where he just randomly turned up in the car that got me. I was howling at that. I don't know why, but he just there in the car. Like, ooh.
Yeah,
because I mean, there's a doctor that Frankenstein's got a vendetta against or something, and he's like, I'll help you out with this guy. Even though Frankenstein just sort of did it himself.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know what? Well, the more we rag on this film, the more I'm realizing I really did need company to watch this, because I'm having much more fun than I did watching it.
I actually massively enjoyed myself, but I think I maybe should have told you going into it that it was going to be a bit weird, because I vaguely got that from it.
I know it was only an hour and a half long, but it probably would have benefited from being like 15 minutes shorter, maybe.
Yeah,
and I think it said 15 minutes full stop.
Well, possibly, yeah, but I think had it been, you know, that much sort of shorter, then it would have fallen under that. So bad it's good almost, but it's just a bit. There's just a bit too much randomness in it.
Yeah, that and
well, a lot.
There's probably a bit about the hour mark where it really drops off, and there's about 10 minutes where you go, ugh, because it loses any of its charm. If that's got any, so I'd have to agree with you. There is probably about 10 minutes of boring.
I think there is some charm in this film, specifically the guy on the beach who's making out with his girlfriend, I suppose, and he's got like the most epic pillow talk or sand talk. Because on the beach, he actually says, "I like to think of you belonging to me," and that he's been looking for his mate and he thinks he's found it.
Yeah. Whereas she's more interested in not being murdered.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, you can't question her priorities. That's probably the most sensible thing in this entire film.
So I suppose we really should get on to Frankenstein, who, let's be honest, looks like shit.
When I first saw it, I thought like, oh yeah, this is like kind of an interesting thing that they've gone for here. And I was like, oh yeah, I can go on board with this. And then he opened his eyes. And I was like, oh no, that's just a mask thing, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
And I say a mask thing deliberately because I don't think you can actually call this a mask proper.
No. Well,
this is a Beau Selector mask.
It definitely is a Beau Selector mask, yeah.
That somebody sat on.
It just needed the glasses on and it would have been away. Yeah. It was so weird as well because he even had less to do. He just seemed to be stomping around, not doing a lot. And then in the end, he turns on Dracula. Is it because she's got boobs? It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, I mean, this film is tremendously horny, isn't it?
Oh, it's a bit. Yeah, but it's more
also like really prudish.
Yeah. Bit of a tease. Like,
there is proper shame in the, whoever's made that decision to not show boobs, they have real shame that they have, sexual feelings because...
I loved it. Even the people
they go naked. As close as they can without showing anything.
Even the people naked in the tubes have got black lines. Exactly where their bits are.
Yeah, those people who are supposed to be like dead were...
Yeah.
Or whatever.
As close to it as makes no difference. Yet they're all very clearly moving their eyes constantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, at least...
One of them actually turned the head at one point.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It wasn't some of the world's best acting. So the Frankenstein monster turns on Dracula because he liked boobies. And I think that's the only reason for it. And then they go and have a fight where he seems to be kicking Dracula's ass, and then Dracula's arm sick of it and starts ripping his limbs off. And you think, why did this fight go one way anyway? If that's his strength level. Oh, I forgot earlier in the film, he uses that ring to zap the one guy, the guy that I said to you has the lovely voice.
Yeah, he just fries him, doesn't he? But doesn't do that to anybody else.
No, don't do that to anybody.
Apart from the stick.
Well, the stick.
Fuck stick. Fuck stick. classic British insult. Classic. It just made me think of the Monty Python thing. Hence, I sent the picture to you, the two of you.
I did. I thought exactly the same.
Yeah, 'tis but a flesh wound. but I will say though, when they killed off Dracula with the sunlight, it was not the best effects I've seen. Pretty good. It was all right.
Well, I think it's always a fascinating thing to see. Different interpretations of what things like garlic and sunlight and. Entering a house when you've not been invited, and what different interpretations of the effects on a vampire happen. And obviously in this film, it turns Dracula into Marv from Home Alone 2.
I mean, he was basically undead anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah.
the thing, though, I did love about that, because he's rolling around on the floor, and obviously he's got this completely pale white face, but lovely tanned brown hairy arms.
Yes,
I was going to say the same thing. It really took me out of the death scene.
Yeah,
look at my lovely tan that I have.
he's been on the beds, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Can a Dracula go on sunbeds?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't it ultraviolet light more than it is sunlight?
It is in Blade, I think, in it. He uses an ultraviolet thing.
Good question. I don't know. Don't know the answer.
Bram Stoker.
But couldn't his Dracula walk around during the day anyway?
Yes.
And he became a low-powered vampire.
Safe mode.
Safe mode vampire, yeah. So that's fun. Yeah. Well, I had a great time with it. Now, especially since I've spoken to you two, it's made me laugh. Made me laugh even more. And I don't.
Yeah, this discussion has made it somewhat worthwhile to have watched this film now.
I'm really happy that I sort of added it to my list. Really, you know, I don't know what I was expecting, but sometimes. I'm weird with bad movies. Sometimes I'm like, if it's bad, I just like, this is shit. There's nothing to get out of it. Whereas with this, there was just enough in it that made me laugh. And I think it's the randomness of it. But
I had a fun time with it. I didn't, you know, think it's by any stretch a so bad it's good kind of thing. But it made me chuckle.
Yeah.
One more, yeah. You know.
Well, are you done with this, or do you want to say some more?
I just mentioned the most depressing missing persons detective in the world as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, we don't tend to find people. It's a horrible world out there, and, you know, your sister's probably been raped and murdered, basically.
It was terrible, and then later on in the film, it's like, are you still trying to find her? Yeah. you want to give up? That's what you want to do. Yeah, no, I think I'll keep looking, actually. You kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was fun, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Now, well, I'm happy to do my review then. I'm as much fun as I had with it. I'm actually going to go for a new It's Spooky, because I think if anyone listens to this, they probably would have fun with it. So I'm going that far. I think it's leaning towards shit, but just one rabbit pellet away from the total shit. I don't know what any of that means. All right. Go, someone else.
No, it was shit. That's all it needs. But it's fun to rag on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like ages ago when we covered Attack of the Crab Monsters, and we said about that one. It weren't that good, but if you'd had someone with you, it would have been brilliant. And I think this certainly has that vibe too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with Matthew. I think it is a shit, but I'm bordering on the uppermost part of shit, I suppose.
You're the one rabbit pellet in that makes it.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. So that's two shits and one vaguely in the shit, but not quite. Yeah. Or a new It's Spooky, as we say. Well. There you go. That was. It feels like we're having a very small sandwich this week. Lovely, delicious. One of them ones you get on a afternoon tea.
Mm. A little triangle one.
Yeah, a little triangle of cucumber and peas, soft cheese.
Lovely.
Well, before we get into the last slice, obviously everyone, you should go out there and join our lovely, lovely social medias, Facebook. Creative Psychopaths, mostly you, so you can get involved in the week's discussion and tell us what you think of the movie. This week we didn't get anyone because we picked a really random one.
We're probably going to end up getting the same next week too.
I will say actually that this was available on YouTube, so if you want to watch it, it's no big issue trying to find it. Instagram, same thing, Creative Psychopaths. I was getting good at Instagram, and now I'm no good. But anyway, all those links, including mine and Matthew's letterbox, are in the description. So yeah, feel free to check that out and also drop us a review. So last slice of bread. So I can't remember what we said we were going to do.
We're going to talk about some versus films that we'd like to see.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. Why didn't I remember that? Who's to say?
I don't know. It was your idea.
And maybe Dracula invaded my mind.
But I'm going to go first.
Yeah, good. Lovely. All right.
Mathrigan versus the Terminator.
Ooh. That'd be good. Well, but how? And why?
You're
not thought of
that. If you want to cheat, you can say that it's the Terminator from T2. You know, you got good Arnie. But I like the idea of enormous man robot against small girl robot.
Yeah. The good thing about versus is, whenever you see something like a versus, there is one that you pick out and you go, well, that's the person who's going to win. Because I immediately think the Terminator is going to fuck it up. And the three, you know. But they always do something nice, don't they? To usually they manage to make it a draw somehow. Although in Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla went over. He was the winner in the end.
I think if I would have been looking at it, I think that the Terminator is more durable. It's more of an ass kicker. Ooh. But I think Mathrigan's got the edge intelligence wise.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a possibility there that she could outsmart him. But if it comes down to fist and cuffs.
And she's connected to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Wi-Fi didn't even exist when Arnie were kicking.
No.
Yeah, but then surely she's at a disadvantage because if the Wi-Fi goes down.
Well, I think she can still function without the Wi-Fi.
Oh, right, okay.
And also, that also means that the Terminator is not going to be distracted by like Twitter or, Instagram.
That's true. I also had Megan on one of mine, actually. But mine was a triple threat. It was a toy triple threat.
Oh, go on.
Chucky versus Annabelle versus Megan.
Well, Annabelle doesn't do anything.
Well.
Oh, does she?
Well, is that point saying, well, she doesn't.
She's a toy.
Does she? No. She's never even moved.
Real, yeah.
Apart from that one last frame of one of the movies.
I don't think so.
She'll summon something up. I don't know.
Well, it's got a bad spirit attached to it, so I suppose, it would be those two versus bad spirit attached to it. Now, what Chucky are you going to give us? Oh, well, it has to be Chucky, doesn't it? Because there was Buddy, and Buddy was very Mathrigan-y from that Child's Play.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Chuck him in as well. He's a bit of a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a battle royale of... creepy toys.
Yeah. You might as well chuck some other ones in then, get some of them puppet masters and demons toys and chuck it on and get the small soldiers in there as well.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I want to see.
And the Indian in the cupboard.
Yeah, chuck him in. Yeah. Wait a minute. Didn't that movie have Darth Vader in it?
Yes. I believe it did.
No, they win then, don't they? Lord of the Sith turning up and kicking people in the rump, as is the Sith way. They spin you around with the Force and give you a swift kick up the arse. Possibly, I don't know. So I think I did have one, and it's gone out of my brain. Oh, I thought about maybe Ghostface versus the Black Christmas dude.
Hard to say, because we don't really know the Black Christmas dude, do we?
No. They're both mad on phone calls, though, innit?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it's like who can raise most money in a TV telethon. You know, or who? I mean, we could do this in a sort of Glengarry Glen Ross situation.
Oh yeah.
You know, Black Christmas versus Scream, but they've got to sell, you know, something crap.
Insurance or something like that. Yeah. Do you like car crashes? That sort of thing. Yeah. Imagine the other guy, the Black Christmas guy, would be no good at that because he didn't really say anything of
it's
relevance.
It's mostly heavy breathing, isn't it? You can't really sell extended warranty.
Heavy breathing. I suppose we could take the Black Christmas guy and replace him for the... Oh,
When a Stranger Calls?
There you go, When a Stranger Calls guy.
Well, you could have another triple threat there, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. We've done it.
Maybe trying to sell compensation.
And the winner is the person who actually gets into the house to murder the girl. Mm. And they're all good at it, you know, they've all got the skills. So, yeah, let's have that. Let's have plenty of prank phone calls with slasher intent. Yeah. Okay. Any others or?
Well, I kind of got one, but I cheated a bit. Because instead of like a versus thing, like why not a big like Spider-Verse situation where we get all the versions of one guy, you know, all the Draculas, all the Frankensteins, all against each other. Which one wins?
Oh, we have to pick.
No, but I would struggle to think of all of the Draculas and their strengths and weaknesses.
I think I'd just choose Christopher Lee because he's so commanding.
I mean, yeah. Also, he does have the knowledge of Christopher Lee. That's advanced warfare.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not all of it legal, as we learned, but yeah, he's probably got the edge.
I don't know if I've told this on here before, but there was Brad Dourif was talking about Christopher Lee in when I saw him at For the Love of Horror, because they asked him what he was like working with in Lord of the Rings. Christopher Lee had been banging on about, oh, I could hit a bullseye on a dartboard with a rusty nail. And after a while, Brad Dourif was sick of him saying, all right, go on, do it. And he just did it straight off. it was like, oh shit. Yeah. So I mean he might have been lucky, but and that might not have been a true story, but I like to believe it was. Yeah, let's do that. I'll choose Christopher Lee's what is it? Dracula. Yeah. Or just Sauron. No, is he Sauron?
Saruman.
Saruman.
Oh man, sorry, I'm only recently converted to Lord of the Rings, so I'm not quite remembering all the characters' names. One of them's called Legolas. Legolas. Funny though.
I'm going to say I'm torn between Nick Cage and Willem Dafoe.
Oh. You know, Nick Cage.
I'll say Nick Cage just because Willem Dafoe is technically not Dracula, is Nosferatu. I mean, it's the same in it, but that just gets me out of having to make a definitive choice. And I'm saying Nick Cage.
All right. So, are we going for all the Draculas, were you chucking all the others in there, all the werewolves and? Was it just the Draculas?
We can have all the werewolves. We can have all the Frankensteins, all the whatever you want, really.
You have any thought on that, Peter? And Gary Oldman's one was pretty hard, wasn't he?
Yeah, reasonably. He was too distracted, though, when he went to love and all that sort of stuff. I think I'd have to agree with you, Mark, and Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Either that or Duncan Regeer from Monster Squad. He was pretty badass.
You know what? I must admit that's a blank spot for me, Monster Squad. I keep meaning to get round to it, but I haven't yet. But I was thinking that we should... is it a PG, that one?
No, it was a 15 over here because we didn't have a 12 rating at that time. I think it was PG-13 over in the States.
I was thinking at some point we should try and get around to doing a couple of weeks or a month at some point of maybe looking at PG horror movies, which would be nice. Anyway, my last verses is I really want to see Christine versus Herbie. Or
Herbie.
Or maybe Christine versus Kit.
Yes.
I feel like Herbie and Christine are more on the same level, though. Kit's a bit smarter and a bit chatty. I mean, the other thing is, I really want to see that. Be fun to have good versus evil in that way. You could also have a really mean driver and a really good driver. Lindsay Lohan in Herbie and the other fella in Christine. I don't know. I can't remember the name of the actor from Christine. So anyway, he was killed in the movie. But yeah, let's do that. Let's have cars that can re-heal themselves, fighting each other to the death. Nice. Yeah. Just beeps, beep. Yeah.
Well, I thought this was quite an interesting mashup. The Crawlers from The Descent versus the Death Angels from A Quiet Place. Because that would all be about who's going to make the most noise.
Yeah, I know. But if they were fighting each other, wouldn't it be the Quiet Place guys?
They make noise when they're communicating, though, don't they?
They feel a bit dangerous, though. They feel a bit more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the Descent, they're kind of humanoid, aren't they? So, you know, you give them elevated power and ruthlessness and whatnot, but I'd still think they'd be less than the Quiet Place monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Although I think on a personal level, I'd still rather be sneaking around quietly around them than in that fucking cave.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I had one more if everybody else has finished theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had Jean Jacket from Nope versus Clover from Cloverfield.
Jean Jacket from Nope. Oh, yeah, yeah, right, sorry. The big balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how big could it, you know, swallow up the old Cloverfield jobby?
Well, it certainly take care of the parasites, I suppose.
Yeah, but maybe when they get in there, they start fucking it up from the inside. Mm. It's hard to say because the Cloverfield monster doesn't. Sure, I've no idea because one of them's just a weather balloon to me. So, pop it. I choose a Cloverfield monster, me. I know we're not doing this or that, but that's who I choose.
And then I did have a thought about maybe the Event Horizon versus the Cenobites.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say team them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a little team up.
Yeah, let's fuck shit up.
Yeah, versus...
In a very horny way.
If you like S&M, this is the movie for you. There's leather and chains and dildos.
Penetration.
Yeah, penetration, that's what I meant. Yeah, lovely. Well, that's a lovely way to end the show. End it on something disgusting and filthy and beautiful. Yeah, so I suppose unless you've got anything else you really, really want to say, we can sort of start winding this down. Yes, happy.
I reckon we've said, all said our piece.
Done everything we need to do. Well, don't forget, everybody, you need to go check out Peter's podcast, the Movie Jewel podcast. where is it every fortnight you release an episode?
Yeah, around about every fortnight. And we've got one coming, or we should have just dropped the most perverse, most monstrously perverse science fiction film, in which we talked about society, and a film called Robot Monster from the 1950s.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Which I would thoroughly recommend. That definitely falls in the so bad it's fun category, and it's only an hour long, and it's on YouTube for free.
Oh, YouTube for free. Oh, that's the way forward. So yeah, go check that out. Both me and Matthew have been on there on the Quick Draw episodes, so you can check us out if we're the voices you enjoy. And aside from that, we don't have any other projects, so just stick with this one for now. There may be a side Rocky podcast coming.
Oh, you just reminded me, actually.
Oh.
We now have an X-Files podcast as well.
Well, plug away, my friend.
Myself and one of my co-hosts on the Movie Jewel podcast, Vanessa, we've started an X-Files podcast called The So-Called X-Files, in which we talk about some of our favourite episodes season by season. So check that out.
Lovely stuff. There you go. So if you're an X-Files fan, go check that out. And I think that just leads us into saying, you know, goodbye, the truth is out there, sort of thing. Bye.
Goodbye.
Good life.